When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max coming to you live from above the Heineken River deck at Pier 17. Chris Canty feeling James Brown right now.
Oh, you got to feel James
in
Brown,
for Key and Jay.
Now, do you hear James or do you listen to James?
Do I hear him or do I listen to
him? You know, like Wesley Snipes, Woody Harrelson, White Man Can't Jump. Do you hear James or do you listen to James?
I hear.
Because there's a difference.
I hear James.
You hear him.
I hear.
So you're not just listening to him. You actually hear him.
I hear James.
You feel
oh,
it.
Oh, yeah.
So if you hear James and you're feeling James, why when they play it for the rejoin, are your hips and your arms not moving?
You got a lot of things to do.
I understand the mechanics of the show, Max.
Nobody's
going to play the world's smallest violin.
If you want my head to bop, you're going to have to play certain things. It'll be an involuntary response.
But James should be one of them, though, Max.
No, the type of stuff that gets my head to bop is stuff we can't play on the radio.
That's fair. I see where you're going with that.
So, you know, then you get me, you know.
I got you. I got you. All right. Okay. I tried.
Yeah, see? Now you're getting warm, Yates.
Now you're getting warm.
By the way, do you remember from this era? I don't know. Chris, what year were you born?
82.
All right. So you lived through that era.
Of course.
Okay.
Of course.
So I love Mobb Deep.
Yeah.
But the greatest 1-2 punch of all time for me.
What's up?
Is Ray and Ghost.
Oh. There's no question about it.
That song on the Mobb Deep on this record.
Yeah.
Mobb Deep's going along, beat's good, they're good, and you know, it's one of these, right?
Yeah.
Then Ray and Ghost get on. It's like Batman and Robin just hit
the town. Yeah, the chef and the killer are a problem. They are a problem.
They were punching in and out like old, you know, like Run DMC or EPMD or something like that. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, for the cool kids that don't know what we're talking about, look out Raekwon and Ghostface Killah.
Yeah, that was...
That was a time. That was a time.
That was the golden
was
age, 94, 5, 6.
Yeah, the early 90s, that was a time, man.
Mid-90s.
Early than the mid-90s.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's when Nas jumped on the scene, too.
Yeah.
Jay-Z was kind of doing his thing, coming out of the shadow of Big.
Cuban Lynx is a Desert Island album for me.
Yeah.
You got five you got to take to the desert. Cuban Lynx.
Yeah.
Cuban Lynx might be my number one draft pick.
Nah, I don't know about that. You taking a seat? That's a bridge too far.
No, it's not.
That's a bridge too far.
No, it's not.
That's a bridge too far.
Why,
I'm not going
the
there.
Bridge to Staten Island? What are you talking about?
The Verrazano?
It's a ferry too
the
far for
the Gothels?
No. Let me tell you something else while we're on the topic. One of the most underrated rappers of all time, and I'm not afraid to say it.
Who's that?
No one agrees with me about this, but Noriega.
Noriega, yeah.
If you listen to AZ,
yeah,
you hear like the fat like where Nori the beginnings of Noriega, right?
Yeah.
But he took that whole thing. Anyway, we could do a whole hip hop show, Chris.
We could. Yeah. But that's not what we're doing today.
Speaking of, you know what this reminds me of? Talking about Ghost and Ray and Noriega and all these guys.
What's that?
Mac Jones.
How the hell do you make that leap?
It's just like right next door to it, right?
From Raekwon to
oh, don't step on the joke. That's the joke.
McCorkle Jones?
That's the joke. It's the opposite. All right.
No, I thought the joke was how Mac Jones played this year. I thought that was the joke.
Not very well. He did not play very
okay.
well.
Okay, all right.
You think Bill Belichick is ready to move on for him? Tommy Curran, who covered the Pats for decades, revealed on
as plugged in as anybody is with the New England Patriots, by the way.
He was on WEEI, and he revealed that Coach Belichick was really not happy at Mac Jones for going outside the building for advice on how to run the offense. Here he is on NBC Sports Boston Pats Insider on WEEI.
Just what's left over from Bill being agitated at Mac for more than anything else. You know, the yelling and the gesticulations during the games was irritating enough. But Chris Sims alluded to this, and I heard it reaffirmed today. Going outside the building for counsel as to, is this the way we're supposed to be doing this? That really pissed Bill off. And as we know, a betrayal of Bill's disloyalty, I think, in Bill's mind is almost worse than bad play. And Mac, even though you could say, well, it's ironic, the guy's trying to get better and he's wondering, are we supposed to be doing it this way and asking people around football about it? That effort to improve was showing up the Matt Patricia, Joe Judge contingent and Bill putting them in charge. And when Bill caught wind of it, he's still pissed about it. So I think a lot of that, how well are they going to be able to bury the hatchet on Mac's perceived and presumed disloyalty in doing that? And does Bill O'Brien rectify that, or is Bill still itching to teach the kid a lesson?
Curran also believes that Brian Hoyer was released because he was against the system like Mac Jones was. There's also a story that Belichick had shopped Mac Jones, or at least looked into trading him. Chris, it is, I don't think, lost on many that in today's NFL, the only dinosaur in terms of style, the statue, the guy who can't move at all,
mm-hmm.
who's not from a previous generation, so guys have retired, but
sure.
not Tom Brady or Matt Ryan or someone like that,
yeah.
is Mac Jones, is the guy who's playing for Belichick, is the guy Belichick drafted, fell to 15 to him in the draft, right? Mm. Nick Saban's guy, the whole thing. It strikes me that Belichick had all this success in a previous era of football
yeah.
with a certain kind of quarterback, and he now has that same style, though not nearly at the same level,
yeah.
in a league where you can't do it anymore. Certainly not without a guy who's lights out, and that is not Mac Jones. That's Belichick the GM and Belichick the coach all rolled up into one, Chris.
Well, we didn't know whether or not Mac Jones is capable of developing into that guy, and that's why I didn't think that it was the right idea for the Patriots to go with the experiment of Matt Patricia and Joe Judge as these co-offensive coordinators. That absolutely made no sense for a coach who forged his identity and his resume on the defensive side of the ball. You're going to let him be a first-time offensive play caller and coordinator in year two of your quarterback? That just didn't make any sense. So I don't think it's out of pocket for Mac Jones to seek counsel outside of the organization and try to learn as much as he can, because it's clear, based on what was happening in the building and in the quarterback room, that he wasn't getting what he needed. The guy regressed from year one to year two. That is a problem. Mac Jones was 28th in QBR, 14 touchdown passes to 11 interceptions. So forget about the skill position core being bereft of talent, not having any weapons on the edges. Forget about the offensive line concerns. Just focus in on what they're doing as an organization in terms of the infrastructure to develop the quarterback. And it's clear that it was lacking. If it wasn't, you wouldn't have moved on and hired Bill O'Brien this offseason. So Belichick, in effect, told you he made a mistake by hiring Matt Patricia as his offensive coordinator. And yet you're going to feel some kind of way about your second-year quarterback trying to find other ways to get better if what Matt Patricia, the first-time offensive coordinator, is teaching him doesn't make sense to him. That's the part of this that I have a problem with Bill Belichick's authoritarian style, because it doesn't lend itself to being able to ask questions or to question how he's doing things. And, Max, I'm a big believer in this. If what you're teaching and what you're doing is fundamentally sound, then it should be able to hold up to a line of questioning that your players have. And it's clear that what Belichick was doing on the offensive side of the ball with the scheme and how they were trying to teach it to Mac Jones doesn't hold up.
All right, this is very interesting to me, and let's dive into this. I think we can go deeper on it even.
Okay.
So his authoritarian style, you believe if you have fundamentally sound ideas, it could stand up to rigorous questioning.
No doubt.
Because it'll be consistent, and you have nothing to hide, right?
Exactly.
But authoritarian, this is the issue with the corrupting nature of power. It's the reason you need checks on power. Because power itself is a corrupting influence, right? Mm-hmm. Like, this is what, like, the Lord of the Rings movies are about. You know, a lot of popular culture even understands.
Yeah, what's
this.
The adage? Absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Right. Power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So Bill Belichick has too much power in New England. And how does that manifest itself? We are on this just in. Hit show, 2 p.m. Eastern, ESPN. Handsome host. And I'm there between Damian Woody and Mike Tannenbaum. Mike T is a Belichick guy, you know, Parcells, Belichick guy, and Damian Woody played for Belichick.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going on and on about how Belichick, Like, how long is Belichick's leash in New England with Robert Kraft? He has a lifetime. You can never get rid of Belichick. Time out. Belichick is the type of dude to be like, don't tell me what you have done. Tell me what you're about to do. What can you do now? Why is it okay in the NFL you treat players like, yeah, they can't do it anymore. Bye. Yeah, but he's a big star. Bye. Like, we're not paying you on what you've done. What are you about to do? Why is not the same thing for the coach or the GM or anyone? The only reason it would be different is because Belichick's got too much power.
Well, it's not different, Max. And if you listen to Tom Curran last week during the owners' meetings, he said as much. He described the relationship between Robert Kraft and Bill Belichick as icy. I mean, Robert Kraft stopped short in his commentary in response to what Belichick was telling fans about having confidence moving forward based on the last 20 or so yard years. Robert Kraft did not meet those comments very well. Like, he felt the way about that clearly, and he let his agenda be known that they need to be about the business of winning. Because having a 25-26 record when you include the playoff loss over the last 3 years just ain't good enough based on the standard that they've established over the last two decades. So don't sit here and talk to me about players trying to rest on their laurels when the head coach is using his laurels as a defense for what's happened in the recent past.
I'm going to give him one out. Ready? Here's my one out
for
Belichick.
What's the out?
Here's the out. So Mac Jones ain't it, right?
Okay.
You think Mac Jones is it?
I don't know,
You're going to win a Super Bowl with Mac Jones?
I don't know.
What would you guess?
Probably not when you consider the quarterbacks in that division.
Me too. I agree. We're on the same page there.
Okay.
There's a quarterback available right now. The Pats are among the teams with the most cap room, over $20 million. There's a quarterback available right now who I would say has more influence over the outcome of any one game, arguably than anyone who ever lived, but certainly among the top ever, which is Lamar Jackson, because I've seen him with a fourth quarter lead in every single game he played this year, in spite of having nobody around him. Yeah,
that's crazy.
In spite of having nobody around him. He's available. Here's the out for Belichick. Robert Kraft was asked about Lamar Jackson. He said Belichick is the GM. If he's telling the truth, it's on Belichick. If Belichick does not have the handcuffs on, it's on Belichick, because shut up, everybody. You can go get Lamar Jackson. I'm not trying to hear, well, he can't compete with Josh Allen and Aaron Rodgers and these guys because he only has Mac Jones. Because he could have Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
Unless there is, in fact, collusion going on in the NFL, that Robert Kraft is a part of it, and in fact, it is a lie when he says that it's up to Bill Belichick, he can go get Lamar. If that's the case, I can't blame coach, GM, Bill Belichick, because there's a guy available who would fix all of the Patriots' issues. If Bill Belichick had Lamar Jackson, that's in a division with Rodgers and Josh Allen. I'm telling you right now, they have the best quarterback in the division. How you like them apples?
I'm with you on that, and they arguably would have one of the best defenses in that division. They're right there with the Jets eye to eye. So I'm with you. The only thing I would say is whether it's on the head coach or not in terms of them going after to get Lamar Jackson, it doesn't matter. Bill Belichick has got to win, whether that's with Mac Jones, the quarterback that he handpicked, or going after another quarterback that's available, i.e. Lamar Jackson. Belichick better win in 2023.
Got to win a playoff game, dude.
Ain't no lifetime achievement awards in New England. Because, listen, as much as we talk about Bill Belichick, you know who else is worried about their legacy in Foxborough? Robert Kraft.
Should the Jets consider drafting a quarterback in the first round? You heard me right.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, Who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Chris Canty in for Key and Jay. Should the Jets consider drafting a quarterback in the first round? This is a little bit of a tricky question. It's a little bit, or I should say a trick question.
Okay.
I'll explain in a second. First, here's Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN NFL front office insider. And I'll give you a little background. Prepping to do this just in on the call with the producers, I told them, hey, I'm a Giants fan, and I like Daniel Jones a lot. I'm very impressed with Jones, and I don't know what his potential is. Like, I want to see him with these receivers and maybe even and another alpha receiver. I don't think he's going to be an elite quarterback, but I'm not ruling it out based on what I saw this year.
Mm.
But if Hendon Hooker's available, I don't care what the Giants need. I want them to draft Hendon Hooker. And if Daniel Jones works out, we have a good problem on our hands. And if he doesn't, boom, in a year or two, I got a guy who by that time be 31 years old, but a guy who'd be in his prime ready to go. And they said, it's funny you say that. Save that for the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I say it on the show. And Mike Tannenbaum says, you should have heard us on Get Up yesterday or this morning because this was yesterday. Like, yeah, we're doing this show. I don't know what they're saying on Get Up.
Yeah.
Well, this is what he said on Get Up about what the Jets should do at number 13.
Draft Hendon Hooker, quarterback, University of Tennessee. Look, Aaron Rodgers, we know it's a short-term marriage. Hopefully it all works out. But they got to also build for the future. And Hendon Hooker, to me, when it's all said and done, has unbelievable upside. And ideally, he sits a year behind Aaron Rodgers. The quarterback position goes from a weakness to a strength.
Chris, I would let me take it one step further.
Okay.
I would say any team that has a quarterback who's not a slam dunk, this dude's going to be elite quarterback.
Yeah.
If Hendon Hooker is sitting there, what's the his age. Stop. It just doesn't mean he will have a very, like, a 15-year, 18-year, it might be a 10- or a 12-year career. But if not for the injury, which is not career-altering necessarily, to me, he's the guy with the fewest weaknesses. He's the guy I would say I would want to start right away.
Yeah, Hendon Hooker's going to be the fifth quarterback off the board, and he's probably going to go somewhere in the latter part of the first round. I have no doubts about that, but to Mike T's point about the Jets taking him at 13, let me tell you what they're not going to do. Take him at 13. You know why? Because you can't be half pregnant. They're about to give up multiple premium picks and pay a guy $60 million for a one-year proposition. You know what the Jets are thinking? We going for it. And we're going to use that first-round pick to bolster our roster to give Aaron Rodgers and this 2023 team the best chance that they can to compete for a championship. It doesn't make any sense to try to hedge for the future when you're going after Aaron Rodgers, a guy that, by the way, wants to get out of Green Bay because that organization did the exact same thing. They hedged for the future with Jordan Love rather than getting Aaron Rodgers some more weapons that could help him in the twilight of his career. So what Mike Tannenbaum is saying is asinine, it's ridiculous, and it shouldn't be a consideration at all.
Your logic is sound, but I disagree with your conclusion.
Okay.
Because I would say that's all right, yes, 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 unless if you feel a special talent is available at a premium position, then to me, I'm not drafting for need anymore.
Okay.
To me, there's too much value. To me, Hendon Hooker fits that bill. You think about what the Panthers did. They packaged all this up and moved up to number one in the draft, and people are pretending like they don't know who they want to draft. If that's the case, I'm firing everybody. Like, if you do all that, that better be because that dude, unless you really think there are three Hall of Famers a quarterback in this draft, right?
Yeah.
If Hendon Hooker doesn't get hurt, to me, that's Hendon Hooker. Like Bryce Young is too little. I really like C.J. Stroud, but I don't know what his upside is.
Oh, you know what the upside is. You saw it in the playoff game.
You think Stroud's upside is top five quarterback in the league?
Most of the guys that played on that Georgia defense are going to be playing on Sunday. You saw him against NFL players.
So you think Stroud is going to be there with Joe Burrow and Trevor Lawrence and all those guys?
I think Stroud has
Justin Herbert.
I think Stroud has a chance to be. It all depends on who's going to be down there developing it.
Better chance than Hooker?
And based on, think about the staff that Carolina has assembled between Josh McCown, Frank Reich, and Jim Caldwell. I feel pretty damn good that they're going to be able to get the most out of whoever they draft at number one. If that happens to be C.J. Stroud, so be it. But, yeah, I feel good about what C.J. Stroud is bringing to the party based on what I've seen in a couple of his college games.
So Damian Woody and Ryan Clark agreed with Mike Tannenbaum and me.
Okay.
Greeny, let's just say, didn't seem to. Here's Mike Greenberg, ESPN radio host, of course. Greeny follows this show. And Get Up. Listen to this.
You're going to have Aaron Rodgers, and you're going to draft a quarterback in the first round. What could go wrong? Oh, yeah, everything. This is the worst idea I've ever heard in my life. Are you out of your mind, Tannenbaum? I want this man expelled, not only from this conversation, but from all football conversations that are ever to come. Aaron Rodgers is going to lose his mind if the Jets draft Hendon Hooker, and you are in for this. You've made your bed. Sleep in it.
Aaron Rodgers is the essence of easily aggrieved.
Oh, no, I can't even sit like this. You want the Jets to take a quarterback in the first round now? We're just finally going to get Rodgers. You're going to piss him off before the whole thing even starts? D. Wood, you're the biggest he's going to be mad. He's going to be frustrated. This is a disaster. I'm going to fight Damian Woody now. This is going to be a fight.
With one arm.
I mean, the last time they...
That ain't going to be a long fight, by the way.
The last time they pissed off Aaron Rodgers, he won back-to-back MVPs. Maybe that's okay. And secondly, let's say he is so in such a way that you don't win the Super Bowl, but you have a loaded team, and then you have actually in his prime, because Hooker's old for a, you know, that's one of the reasons he went.
Yeah.
You know, then you have a guy. You're not reliant on the whims of Aaron Rodgers in the offseason when, let's face it, Chris, no matter how good they are, they probably don't win the Super Bowl because it's hard to do. Let's say they get to an AFC Championship game and they lose, and then he decides, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'd like trade me to whoever. You got a guy.
Well, you say it's hard to do, Max, but we just saw two of the last three Super Bowl winners have their quarterback parachute in that offseason in the LA Rams and the Tampa Bay
Buccaneers. To a ready-made team.
I think that's what the Jets have their eyes toward. And if you're going to pay a guy $60 million and not know if he's going to be your quarterback beyond that season, what you're telling me is that you're going for it. But here, listen, you don't even have to take my analysis of it. Just think about what Woody Johnson said at the owners' meeting. As ridiculous as it sounds, Woody Johnson says, I have no patience. We're trying to win right now. Now, he's shown a lot of patience because they got the longest playoff drought of any team sport in North
America.
Woody
Johnson just cut the legs off of Joe Douglas trying to do his job, right?
Exactly.
Like, good job, Woody.
Look, we're trying to win this thing. We're going after Aaron Rodgers. And you know all of the things that come with Aaron Rodgers. So I think this is a situation where they're focused on using that 13th pick on a player that can help them this year.
Oh, yeah. Not a player that
they're going to redshirt in Hendon Hooker.
In reality, they ain't drafting no Hendon Hooker.
Hell no,
I'm just saying, if I ran the zoo, said young Gerald.
But you got to decide what you want to do, Max. Do you want to win now, or do you want to have a window of sustained success?
I want both.
Well, you can't have both sometimes.
Yes, I can.
You're
who are you
New
to
York
tell
Jets.
Me I can't?
You can't have nice things.
That's right. That's why I don't root for the Jets. Major League Baseball changed the rules. And a lot of people are happy with the rules changes. Are they right, KJM?
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
This would be like the NBA taking the three-point shot and putting it in.
Too much time, he's out. The game just ended on a pitch clock violation.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max were presented by Progressive Insurance. Chris Canty in for Key and Jay today. Buster Olney, ESPN MLB insider, joins us and is brought to you by Beacon. Beacon and Beacon Pro Plus apps help roofers get things done from anywhere. 24/7. Beacon, always building. Buster,
Max,
what it is
can
right
I,
now?
Can I say this?
What it is
the
right
coldest
now?
Walk-up song for any of our guests.
Come on, man.
Buster, we love you. We gave you Buster Rhymes coming in today because I know you coming in hot.
Buster, what it is
what
right
it
now?
Is, what it is. All what right. it is, what it is.
What it is right now is, I got to tell you something. These rules changes, Chris and I were talking about, I guess this was last week, right?
Was this yeah, last it was last week? Week. Yeah, it was last week.
You know, the most efficient week. Way to play baseball, three true outcomes, is just not good for the consumer. I feel like I got bait, like they went into the future to give me baseball back. What has been your impressions of the rules changes so far?
Yeah, that, I mean, big picture from 30,000 feet, it's fantastic. You know, you're talking about the average time of game being reduced by 25 to 30 minutes. We're talking with Robbie Grossman of the Texas Rangers the other day, and he mentioned from the player's perspective, you know, as time goes along, having that time off your feet, not standing around waiting for, you know, the pitcher to get back on the rubber, for the hitter to get back in the box. Over the course of his season, the players will really grow to appreciate that. Most of the players that I speak with like the rule changes. Most of the staffers, managers that I speak with like the rule changes. They are having these small issues from here or there, like with Manny Machado yesterday getting ejected by Ron Culpa. But generally speaking, I think Major League Baseball is getting exactly what it designed when it affected these changes.
And I wanted to get into that a little bit with you, Buster, because you can make the argument that it cost the Padres an opportunity to get that win against the Diamondbacks. And for Ron Culpa and Manny Machado to get into it, Manny thought he called for time. Culpa thought otherwise. They had words. They bounced him out of the game. Is this a prelude of more of that to come, or is this just going to be an isolated incident when we look back on how the implementation of the rule changes with the pitch clock came in and how it affected the game?
Yeah, Chris, I think this is a situation where we're going to see some of this early in the year and then gradually it'll dissipate as everybody adjusts. Not only the players, not only the managers, but the umpires. Mm. You know, the first exhibition game that we did on ESPN, Andy Fletcher was the home plate umpire, and there was a call at home plate. We weren't sure what happened with it, and so I went out between innings and asked him, hey, we were trying to figure out what occurred, and he goes, you know what, I'm trying to figure it out too. And he went and spoke with the other umpires, came over to me, said, it was my mistake. Here's what should have happened on that play. I've spoken with so many umpires who will tell you they're learning how to deal with this too. I do wonder, in that situation yesterday, Ron Culpa, with the benefit of 2020 hindsight, looking at the replay, he might say, you know what? I should have granted Manny Machado time. I should have had more leeway rather than execute a strike three because he did have his hand raised. It's a learning curve for everybody as they put these in, and I think mistakes are going to be made. I thought yesterday it was a mistake by Ron.
Yes, right. And by the way, they could still tweak the rules. If, for example, no one ever gets thrown out stealing a base, you got to figure that out with the bases and all that. But and by the way, Buster, it bothers me that they had to change the rules about the shift because hitters would stubbornly just not try to – weren't good enough at beating it. And yet the fact remains at a certain point – you got to give the consumer a product that's more consumer-friendly.
Yes.
They did it. Batting averages ought to rise, right? Certainly stolen bases are happening left and right now. And as Chris put it, the action is back in the game, right? I mean, like, is that a consensus that you're hearing? Is that fans have responded? Because anecdotally it seems that way.
100%. Look, in the presentation that Major League Baseball did with reporters in spring training, you know, they noted that they determined that a ball was being put in play once every 4 minutes. You know, they expected after they did the rules changes that it would go down to one every 2.5 minutes, which makes sense. If you're going to cut, you know, the 30 minutes of game time, 25, 30 minutes of game time they're cutting out is pure fat. There's still 54 outs. There's still 9 innings being played. It's just that there's less standing around. You mentioned the stolen bases, more than double in the first days of this season compared to last year. Yeah, you expect the batting average is going to go up. There's more stuff to watch. My son, for me, 18 years old, is a great focus group of one because he's crazy about sports. He ingests it all the time. In past years, when I've asked him to sit and watch baseball games with me, he says flat out, no, too slow. Now he's watching. Not only is he watching more baseball, but he's watching like from pitch to pitch to pitch. Tim Kirkjian was the first one to say this to me when we had that first exhibition game in spring training on television. You can't take your eyes off it because you might miss something because the action is ongoing. It felt like in recent years, Pedro Baez could throw a pitch and then you could like channel surf and then come back before he threw his next pitch.
Yeah, I think you make a really good point. And sometimes you don't realize you're conflating a couple things, but like you unpacked it. On the one hand, it's kind of like listening to a podcast on 1.5x, right? Like you're getting the same stuff, but it's compressed now. That's the kind of culture we're in. We want it more, faster. But also, in that same 54 outs, there's more stuff happening. So yeah. Not only are you getting it faster, but you're getting more stuff compressed into it. 100%.
No doubt about it. Talking with ESPN Baseball Insider Buster Olney on KJM. And Buster, before we let you go, I got to get to this question. What the hell is happening with the Mets? 20 consecutive innings of scoreless baseball? They've got outscored 19-0 in the last two games against the Brewers. Max Scherzer gives up 3 consecutive home runs yesterday, the first time in his career since 2017. Just what the hell is going on out there?
Well, I could play, Captain Even Keel and say it's a long season and, every team's going to go through a 5-game stretch like this, and it'll be fine because the Mets have a lot of good players. And I believe that to be the case. However, and I think that, going into the year, the biggest concern for the Mets was the age in their starting rotation, which was inherent when you invest in, 40-year-old Justin Verlander starts the year on the injured list. When you have Max Scherzer, age 38, Carlos Carrasco, Max Scherzer now in his last 10 starts, if you go back to last August, it's a 4.68 ERA. Carlos Carrasco the other day, average fastball velocity was down by 2.5 miles per hour. No one should write these guys off and say, okay, this is the beginning of the end. But the fact is that this is inherent when you have a rotation that is this kind of age on it. I've also seen a lot of starting pitchers, especially older guys, build velocity early in the season and bounce back. And that might be where we are with Max and with Carlos Carrasco, with Verlander in another month.
Meantime, Yankees are going to get Severino and Rodon and Montas at some point. Oh, I like that staff. Anyway, that's a story for another day.
I didn't like Herman yesterday, though.
No, well, listen, I don't know if you ever heard about it, but sometimes pitchers have been around the league. Herman's been around for a few years now. They need to build velocity. You ever talk to Buster Olney about this?
We're building.
Interview, Chris Canty. Thank you, Buster.
Thanks,
as
Buster.
Always.
Thanks, guys.
NBA MVP race over? We ask Doc Rivers. Next, Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, the podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will and Max were presented by Progressive Insurance. Chris Canty in for Key and Jay today. And we are joined now by the head coach, or in moments we'll be joined by the head coach of the Philadelphia 76ers.
My favorite to go to the NBA Finals out of the Eastern Conference.
Really?
Yeah. Max, I've been saying this for a month now.
Maybe on Canty and Carlin.
I've been saying it for a month now.
Not
Max.
On Keyshawn J. Will
and Max. I come in studio with you every single week.
For whatever reason, you have not said the Sixers.
Oh,
and I could,
my gosh.
Hold
here
on.
We go.
Yates and Pat, they're Philly fans. They're Sixers. Yates, has he talked about Sixers or his favorite on this show?
No, he has. He's been rocking with Embiid.
Shut up.
Thank you.
Shut up, Yates.
Thank you. It's not my fault that the driver of the show doesn't listen to what the hosts have to say.
Well, it's not my fault.
What the analysts have to say.
It is my fault?
No, you don't listen, it's Max.
Max, it's because you're busy worrying if Canty's going to show up on time.
Wow. Here you go, Nuno.
I don't know, Kent.
Nuno, for a guy that's a Giants fan,
hey,
really
yo.
Gave me a lot of shade, man. I don't understand.
Yeah, he did win us a Super Bowl.
Exactly.
Or he's part of that team.
Yeah. I don't get that. I don't understand that.
All right.
Nuno doesn't miss an opportunity to take a shot at me, by the way.
I've noticed that.
Yeah. You know who else doesn't miss shots? Joel Embiid.
Oh, that's quite the transition. Doc Rivers, Philadelphia 76ers head coach with us now. Morning, Doc.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Doing well. Maybe not as good as you this morning after that performance by Joel Embiid yesterday. Doc, he was already performing at a very high level, right? But he seems to have taken another step this year. He's having an historically great scoring season. When you think about the overall package as a true seven-footer who could play back to the basket, who plays both sides, probably the most skillful who ever lived at this point, right? When you think of all the things he can do, what changed with it? Like, what do you attribute his growth as a player, even year over year right now?
I would say wanting to win. You know, I think that's all players. That's where it starts. Great players are never satisfied. You know, I've said that my entire playing and coaching career. They want to keep getting better. Joel wants to win, and he believed he had to do things better. He thought he needed to be a more efficient scorer. This is also his best passing year. His assists are way up. His scoring is way up. He's going to lead the league in scoring back-to-back year. His reboundings are up. And more importantly, defensively, I think this is the best year of the 3 years that I've had him. He's gotten better each of these 3 years. And this is by far his most dominating defensive year. As many game-winning shots that Joel Embiid has made for the Sixers this year, he's made game-winning blocks just as many. To me, that's what separates him from everyone else.
There's no doubt about it, Coach. And a couple of things stood out from last night's game. The playmaking down the stretch, the last 5 minutes by Embiid when the game was still in the balance, was just incredible. Finding P.J. Tucker in the corner a couple of times, but then being able to take Grant Williams off the bounce. But I think you touched on something that not a lot of our listeners and viewers pay a lot of attention to, and that's his impact on the defensive side of the court. I'm going back a couple of weeks to that Dallas Mavericks game. He's challenging lobs at the rim. He's hedging on Luka Doncic. You just don't see bigs in today's game have that type of impact on the defensive end. Even the back-to-back MVP in Jokic doesn't have that impact on the defensive end. Just talk about his value to this team's success, not only in the regular season, but hopefully in the postseason, based on what he brings to the table defensively.
Yeah, he's done everything you've asked him to do from a coaching standpoint. When I got the job, we sat and talked about winning plays, making winning things, trusting your teammates. Last night was the ultimate trust. This guy is on fire. He's 20 for 25, and he's throwing the ball to P.J. Tucker and other guys for big shots. His block shots at the rim. You know, we switch out with him. Now, this guy is, you know, whatever amount of pounds, he's 7+, and he's switching on guards at the end of games. He has literally done everything that we've asked him to do to give us a chance to be a winning basketball team.
Talking with Philadelphia 76ers head coach Doc Rivers on KJM. And, Doc, just looking ahead a little bit, the Boston Celtics are the team that represented the Eastern Conference in the NBA Finals. Right now, they're the 2 seed in the Eastern Conference. You guys are the 3 seed, you know, moving past the first round. And I don't want to get too far ahead, but a lot of the fans are looking at this potential matchup with the Boston Celtics in the Eastern Conference semifinals. And this is a team that up until last night you guys hadn't beaten. They were 3-0 going into last night's game. How important was it for your team to get that win from a confidence standpoint, knowing that this could be a team that you eventually match up with in the second round of the playoffs?
Well, you know sports. Obviously, it's nice to win. But if you don't, when the playoffs start, it's still new. And nothing in the past really matters. But it doesn't hurt your psyche to win a game against them. Having said that, we have so much. We have to focus on getting through the first round first. And then whoever is there. We got the Celtics. We got Milwaukee. The East is tough, man. It really is. And that's okay. To win a title, it shouldn't be easy. And the East has made it tough for everybody.
Doc, let me ask you a question about talking to Doc Rivers here on KJM ESPN Radio. Chris Canty in for Key and Jay. Let me ask you a question about playoff basketball and taking the next step as a coach in this NBA. So you received a lot of criticism, including, I've mentioned it on this show, that you played an all-bench unit in the playoffs, where usually coaches will shorten their rotations in the past. And Ben Simmons took a lot of heat in that series, and so did you in the aftermath, certainly locally. Is that something you would do again in these playoffs, or do you think that's something you can't do, play an all-bench unit in the playoffs? Do you need to shorten the rotation?
Well, it really depends on your team. It really does. Everyone has different teams. I did the same thing with the Boston Celtics, and we won a title and got to the finals. So it all depends on the type of team that you have, and the injury situation. And, what people miss, and especially in this day and time, I had the major issue in with the Clippers and Ty is having the same issues is with these time things that they're giving coaches, So it really depends on the health of your players and the type of team that you have. I don't think this is a team that will play an all bench unit. I would say this: Maxey, Tobias, Joel, or James, for the most part, will always be on the floor. That's basically what we've done all year this year.
Coach, last night you proclaimed that the MVP race is over and your guy, Joel Embiid, is the winner.
I said it was over.
It's over. It's over. It's over. 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 To channel my inner Vince Carter. But what made you say that after that performance last night?
Honestly, I was sitting there towards the end of the game and thinking, this is a team that is a second seed that went to the finals last year. Both teams wanted – it was a competitive game. So it wasn't one of those games where Joel was in just trying to get numbers. We needed every number. We couldn't make a shot last night other than Joel. James made shots as well, and then tugged down the stretch. And so we needed every one of them. The 52 points were huge. The efficiency, 20 for 25, the rebounds, the assists, the game-changing shots defensively. You're sitting there as a coach, and you say, this is what an MVP looks like to me. And so that's why I said it. And what else helped me say it, I guess, is when we walked in the locker room, all the players were saying it. So it was almost like, you better go out here and say this, coach, because it's true.
Well, Doc Rivers, who to my mind, Chris, that was my favorite point guard. Mark Jackson and Rod Strickland and Harper. But the dude who I felt was the guy's like, ooh, this team right now. Now we just need a two guard so John Starks can come off the bench. It was Doc Rivers.
Yeah,
appreciate
no.
that, Doc. Hey, best of luck, Doc, going forward.
I was a boxer. Hey, Max, a boxer playing basketball. I think you would like that.
Of course. That's exactly right. Doc Rivers, ladies and gentlemen. Good luck, Doc. More KJM coming up.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.